License number TX39066.
Forty on 550 and 107.1 KTSA. Results on the Stevens Roofing JR poll this half hour. And right here, it's our Ask a Doctor segment. Dr. Fred Campbell back with us on our KTSA Kinetico Quality Water Softeners Newsmaker line. Dr. Campbell, thanks for coming on. Good evening to you.
Glad to be with you again, Jack.
There was a story early on during the pandemic that I've seen now in a couple of different places. And it's the mystery of, or the phenomenon of, COVID patients having a very low oxygen level. As I understand it, correct me if I have the numbers wrong, a healthy person should be around 95% oxygen saturation. And they've seen COVID patients in the 80s and even in the 70s who don't seem to be having any ill effects or don't even realize that they're having this hypoxia. They even have a name for it, happy hypoxia. Have you had any firsthand experience with that, or what do you know about that?
There's no question, Jack, that this COVID-type infection can cause some severe lung insufficiency without necessarily a patient being aware of it. And that is a frightening situation. We do know that people that have relatively mild symptoms associated with chronic lung disease or heart disease could conceivably drop their oxygen saturations below 90, which would be critical. And quite often, clinicians will recommend that those individuals actually screen their oxygen saturations at home with what's called a pulse oximeter. For other people that are otherwise healthy, it is very difficult to sometimes to pick up those severely low oxygen saturations, and it's peculiar to this condition.
If someone was dealing with coronavirus at home, meaning they didn't seem to be serious enough to require hospitalization, or maybe they got out of the hospital, how would they know they were having this hypoxia?
Well, I can't necessarily recommend this to everyone, but there is actually a home pulse oximeter which can be purchased at drugstores and other pharmacies. And in fact, it is about $40 generally. So even though I can't say it's a wide recommendation, that is a possibility for someone who really is concerned about this oxygen desaturation problem.
Would it be manifested in maybe like discoloration of the lips or the fingernails or anything like that? Is that a way to know?
Unfortunately, until it gets fairly severe, and I'm talking about levels substantially lower than 90, it may very well not present with any symptoms at all. You would expect people to be cyanotic or slightly blue in that situation. So obviously, if you are, then that's a very, very serious red flag, but it would not necessarily always be readily apparent clinically.
Speaking of the lungs, as we just were, what are we seeing in terms of the conditions of recovered patients' lungs? A lot of people, I think, wonder, if I beat this thing, if I survive this thing, do I go on to have a normal life, or do I have some compromise because I had it?
Well, that is a very, very important question, and one that has not been completely determined at the present time. We do know that there are severe cases of people who have been on ventilators, recovered, that have unquestionably permanent structural changes which can be detected on imaging. Other people may very well have severe imaging problems while they are ill, and when they're recovering, those will improve dramatically. Whether everyone will, in that situation, will come back to a normal lung function is still very difficult to be certain about. But there certainly are patients who are going to have some degree of permanent lung destruction.
So it really is just a case-by-case, no way to predict?
I don't believe that there is a real good predictive tool at the present time. I know researchers are working on that very aggressively at the present time, however.
Talking with Dr. Fred Campbell right now, UT Health San Antonio on KTSA. This is a question from Audrey, who emailed it in to jack@ktsa.com. Are the only antibodies that can help coronavirus patients the ones from other recovered patients, or is there an artificial antibody?
Well, that's another great question. There are what are called monoclonal antibodies, which have been used to treat conditions like cancer and other autoimmune diseases, which in fact have been thought about in terms of this COVID-19 infection. In fact, perhaps developing a vaccine that involves the production of artificially a monoclonal antibodies against parts of the COVID-19. So yes, that is a possibility. Right now, the biggest issue is trying to use convalescent plasma from those patients who have recovered, hoping that their antibody titers are high enough to really mitigate the severity of the infection in patients and prevent excessive deaths.
Would the advantage of the monoclonal antibodies be that there could be more of it, or it could be more readily available? Because I would think you'd have kind of a finite supply if you were depending on actual recovered patients, right?
That's correct. In fact, you could, as we do with a lot of other conditions, we can manufacture these monoclonal antibodies and use them for a large number of patients in the community. So production, if it is an effective monoclonal antibody, would probably be easier than trying to work with convalescent plasma.
And would the approval timeline for something like that be, I mean, we keep hearing how long the approval timeline will be for a vaccine. Would this be something that would happen sooner, or would this also take a long time to be tested and proven safe and approved?
Unfortunately, I don't believe we're going to necessarily extend the or reduce the development and production period by using monoclonal antibodies. They still have to be tested to be safe in humans, and there have been a number of trials in other situations like cancer and autoimmune diseases where the antibodies were either unsafe or ineffective. So we still have to be very systematic about how we develop vaccines of any type.
So we're looking at that, something like this is probably months away, would be your guess?
Yes, I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay, and in the meantime, we are actually using patients' antibodies. That actually is going on right now, right?
Preliminarily, that seems to be an encouraging way to manage the most severe patients. And in fact, we've had success in other similar situations like SARS and MERS when we did that very thing. So it appears that there is some real promise to doing that.
All right. Dr. Fred Campbell, good information. Always great to talk to you and learn. Always learn some things every time. We appreciate your time tonight and look forward to visiting with you again.
My privilege. Talk to you soon.
All right, Dr. Fred Campbell, UT Health San Antonio, on our KTSA Kinetico Quality Water Softeners Newsmaker line. Coming up, we'll have the results on the Stevens Roofing JR poll. When we think about, you know, the end of the day and unwinding and trying to put all this craziness out of our heads, I know in my neighborhood I can tell just by the smell that people are barbecuing around this time of night. I can smell all kinds of wonderful things going on grills and smokers. And if you need propane, you need to know that Jeff's Backyard is ready to refill your bottle. Any size up to the 100-pound size, propane refills are going on at Jeff's Backyard. Their current hours are Tuesdays through Saturdays, 9 to 4. Just bring in a bottle as long as it's within the manufacturer's date. They'll fill it right up to the top for you. That's Tuesdays through Saturdays, 9 to 4 at Jeff's Backyard. And you might, while you're there and while you're shooting the breeze and catching up with the folks there. It's a friendly place, family-owned business. You might pick up a new recipe, a new tip for your grill. You might even look at some new grills. They've got Weber and Big Green Egg and Texas Trailblazer Smokers and more at Jeff's Backyard. They're over by the airport, 435 West Nakoma, right where Nakoma meets West Avenue.